Well, the Thanksgiving holiday is just days away. It's a time when family and friends get together and celebrate the wonderful things in their lives, the good things that have come their way, the blessings that they have seen. And as Christians, as God's people, it is, I think, paramount that we have the right attitude about this holiday. And in Thanksgiving in general, being thankful, we need to have the attitude of the psalmist in Psalm 66. As we begin our lesson this morning, the first five verses of Psalm 66 speak to us about our attitude toward thankfulness. Thankfulness. I don't think anybody would doubt that our society is not a very thankful society. We're just not very grateful for much of anything, even though we're the nation on earth that probably has the most to be thankful for. The psalmist says, verse 1, make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are Your works. Through the greatness of Your power, Your enemies shall submit themselves to You. All the earth shall worship You and sing praises to You. They shall sing praises to Your name. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in His doing toward the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the river on foot. There we will rejoice in Him. He rules by His power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. The psalmist gives us the attitude about when we look into the world, what we should be thankful for and our attitude toward them. So as we look at giving thanks this morning, the first thing we want to do is look at the word itself. And our main verse will come from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. It's a wonderful verse to keep in mind, not only this time of year, but throughout the year. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, we see that phrase, giving thanks. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. God says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything. One translation I read this week said, in every circumstance give thanks. So it is, according to this verse, God's will that we be thankful. It's God's will. In other words, that's His purpose for us. He wants us to be a thankful people. And certainly Christians, more than any other group in our world, should be thankful. We should think about it being a response. In other words, it shouldn't be something that is forced. It should be something that is a part of who we are as God's people. In other words, a response to what God has done for us. You know, John writes in 1 John chapter 4, I think it's verse 19, that we love God because what? He first loved us. Our love is a response to Him. So when He says to give thanks or giving thanks in everything, He says, this is what I want for you. This is my purpose for you. This is my will for you in Christ Jesus, that you do give thanks, that you are thankful and gracious, grateful people. Two of the ways that this is seen is when we sing and in when we pray. Two of those verses that we use quite often in talking about how we're to worship God in song, both of those texts mention that when we do so, we're to do so with thankfulness. In Ephesians chapter 5, this is what Paul writes to that church. Ephesians chapter 5, and I know you'll recognize these verses, beginning in verse 19 and following. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, and then we'll go to Colossians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So part of singing, the attitude we need to have when we sing is that we're giving thanks always for all things. In other words, that's part of singing. When we sing hymns and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, part of that involves giving thanks. The other classic text on singing, of course, is Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. He even mentions it in verse 15. But in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." In everything you do, in word or deed, do it in His name, doing what? Giving thanks to Him. Giving thanks to Him. That's, in other words, what we're to be doing as His people. Giving thanks. When we pray, this is supposed to be part of what we do. Colossians chapter 4, the very next chapter. Verse 2 says, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving." So whenever we go to God in prayer, part of what our prayers consist of should be thankfulness for the things in our lives, whatever those things might happen to be. A week or two ago, I read an article. It was written by a gospel preacher. I can't remember his name. I don't even remember where I read it. But in it, it was how to be thankful in even the worst situations. It talked about if, you know, let's say your eyes, you're not seeing very well. Be thankful that you have eyes and that you can see it all. Or when you walk, I kind of walk slow or walk with a limp or kind of hurts. Well, be thankful that you can walk at all. And the whole article was about those type of things, kind of looking at them at a different perspective. It certainly made me look at them from a different perspective. And so when he says giving thanks in all things, I think that's what he's talking about. In other words, that just should be our frame of mind, the way we look at things in our world. The Bible says, though, when we look at this word giving thanks, that some people are ungrateful. In Romans chapter 1, he describes one group of people that are very ungrateful. In Romans chapter 1, we'll begin in verse 20. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 20, Paul writes this: "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because, although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Why were they ungrateful? Because they didn't see God in the world. They didn't see His attributes in the world. He says they were clearly visible, that anybody can see them if they look. They open their eyes, they can see the wonders of the world that God created. But these people were futile in their minds, and they were unthankful. They simply didn't see in the world what they should have seen. And certainly that applies to every unbeliever and every atheist in the world. They're not thankful for the world in which they live because they don't see God in it. Yeah, they're unthankful. The next thing is what to give thanks for. I want to push the envelope a little here about not looking at the normal things we think about, and we want to be thankful for, you know, food and health and our jobs and that type of thing, but the things I'm going to talk about are very different than those. And maybe you've thanked God for them, maybe you haven't, and if you haven't, maybe you'll start. The first one comes from 1 Chronicles chapter 16. The background of 1 Chronicles 16 is the arrival of the Ark of the Covenant in Jerusalem. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, I want us to first of all read verse 34 And then go back and read the beginning of that chapter. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 34. This is David's song of thanksgiving. He's thankful the ark has been brought back to Jerusalem. It's been put in the tabernacle. He's thankful for God providing that. In verse 34 he says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." Why was he giving thanks? Very simply, because God is good. He's a good God. Well, haven't people throughout the ages thought that their gods were good? No, not at all. Most of them thought their gods were evil or wicked or vicious or judgmental or vengeful. David says, "I'm thankful for the God I worship, Jehovah, is good." Now go back to verse 7 in that chapter. This is where his song of thanksgiving begins. On that day, this was his thanksgiving day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him, sing psalms to Him, talk of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works which He has done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth." Now, to make it personal, when was the last time you thanked God for the creation of the world? That's one of the things David's talking about here in his song of thanksgiving. How long has it been? If it's been so long you can't remember, it's probably been too long. David says, thank God for His wondrous works. Thank God for the creation of the world. No, this world is not an accident. Not in any way. It was carefully and purposefully and perfectly created. And we should thank God for that. That should be a part of our Thanksgiving Day, thanking Him for that. Thanking Him for the creation of life. Life wasn't an accident. It didn't come by an accident. Life has purpose. All life has purpose. So this wonderful world that He made, everything in it that's wonderful, came because God did it. And He created it. He also created us with an eternal soul. He didn't have to do that. We could just live and die like other things, but that's not what He wanted for us. He gave us an eternal spirit. I would wager, even though I don't wager, but I would wager that it's been a long time since we thanked God that He gave us an eternal spirit. But see, David says that's part of thanksgiving, thanking Him for our eternal spirit. And that He made a place for us to live eternally with God. Now that's something to be thankful for. We also need to, and this is something I hope we do very often, and I think we probably do, is thank God for Christ and His sacrifice. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, this is what Paul tells the church at Corinth to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 15 says, and what a just a marvelous summation to thanksgiving. "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." Paul says it is so amazing that you can't even describe it completely. It is just, you could talk about it and describe it as much as you want, and you still couldn't exhaust how great that gift is and what Christ did for us. Now that's something we need to be thankful for on a regular basis. When was the last time we thanked God for a prayer that we offered that He answered in the way that we wanted it answered? Jesus even thanked God for answered prayer. Remember the death of Lazarus, John chapter 11? We know what happened to Lazarus and what about his sisters and how remorseful and sorry they were that he had passed away. In John chapter 11, verse 41, This is after Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. In verse 41, John writes, "And they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me.'" One thing we need to be thankful for is prayer and answered prayer. Every time prayer is answered like that, we need to thank God for Him answering it. I want us to thank God for Christians. Paul did, and he did so often. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, at the very beginning of this letter in verse 2, Paul writes, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." Remember, these were new converts, going back to our study of Thessalonians. They had been in Christ. They had been a convert less than a year. So Paul says, "I remember you constantly, regularly, always in my prayers." Do you thank God for new converts? Do you thank God for the church here? Do you thank God for the church universal? See, that needs to be a part of our Thanksgiving Day. For Christians, it should be every day. Do we thank God for changed lives? The very next chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul writes, "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing." What's the reason? "Because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." Remember, the Thessalonians had been idol worshippers. And he says they had turned from idols to God. And Paul thanks God for their changed lives. And what a marvelous thing to thank God for. That people have turned away from sin, that people have turned away from the world, are turned away from false religions. And they've turned to God. Thank God for changed lives. What a marvelous thing to thank God for. And then, what I want us to think about as well, our Christian heritage. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul tells Timothy this. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. Paul tells Timothy, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." What do you want him to do? Thank God for his Christian heritage. Thank God for the heritage of his mother, his grandmother, and any others who had an effect on him. He says, "Thank God that you were taught the Holy Scriptures from the time you were a baby." That's what the original says, is when you were a baby. We need to teach babies the Holy Scriptures. We need to read to them the Holy Scriptures from the time they're born. They need to hear God's Word. And we need to be thankful for all those people who have made it possible for us to have the faith we have today. I remember a lot of those when I was in this building. I still remember Bobby Stipp teaching our class. Lisa was in that class. I was in that class. Christy was in that class. And others. I still remember that class. I was young. I know that. And I remember teachers and preachers over the years that's had a profound effect on me. A profound effect. And we need to thank God for that heritage that has made it possible for us to be where we are today. All those wonderful people who have had such a positive influence on us. And lastly, the Bible describes thankfulness in different ways. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul writes this to those Christians in Philippi when he says in verse 3 and following, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Every time he remembered the Christians at Philippi, he thanked God for them. Every time. He goes on and says, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. So every time he prayed for them, he made a request to God for them. Now, that's something you and I need to do on a constant basis, just like he says. On a regular basis, every time we think about this, we need to pray for each other. Pray that our faith will grow stronger. Pray that we'll live in the world like we need to live, that we'll set a good example in the world. Pray that we'll be good fathers, mothers, wives, husbands, children, whatever. Those are very appropriate things to pray for. This is also said to be an offering. It's an offering. Thankfulness is an offering. In Psalms 116, this is a great verse. Psalms 116, the psalmist writes this in verse 17. Psalm 116, verse 17. The psalmist writes, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, the offering of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. He says, thankfulness is an offering. We send it up to God whenever we're thankful. What a marvelous way of thinking about thankfulness. And thankfulness is supposed to be seen, it's supposed to be present even in difficult times. This is written in a chapel at Stanton Herald, which is outside of London. These words are engraved on a plaque. It says, in the year 1653, when all things sacred throughout the nation were either demolished or profaned, Sir Robert Shirley Baronet founded this church whose singular praise it is to have done the best things in the worst times and hoped them in the most calamitous. So even in the worst of times, the most calamitous of times, we can be thankful. So no wonder he says to give thanks in everything or in all circumstances or in all situations. Because thankfulness is supposed to be a response to what God has done for us. In other words, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That single act, that single event, should cause us to be the most thankful people in the world. Because if we place our faith in him and obey him, then we'll have that gift of eternal life. And that should be the thing we're the most grateful for of all. The Bible describes it, he says it's indescribable, it's just incredible, it's wonderful, it's amazing. Just like the Bible can't describe heaven, but it tries to do so in a way to help us understand how wonderful it will be. Yes, let's be thankful for that home in heaven that's prepared for the faithful. For those who've placed their faith in him and obeyed. They've been immersed in water. They've had their sins washed away. They continually are thankful. They're continually grateful. And they continually go to God and ask for forgiveness, knowing that the blood of Christ will continue to wash away their sins. And they're grateful for it. If you'd like to do that, if you'd like to respond to that, and you need to respond to that, then I encourage you to do that as David leads us in this song. Let us stand, please.